Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Welcome to the voice behind the show for actors who are heard but not seen. And we're actually starting what is turning out to be kind of an impromptu series of talking with actors with great names. And we're starting out this with Debbie Derryberry. Debbie, how's it going?
It's great. Thank you. I'm in sunny Los Angeles. I'm sorry that you're not.
It's okay. It's okay. All my stuff's here. So it's easier to live here. So.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's fun to have a silly name.
Yeah, yes. And is that, I'm sure you get asked this 1,000 times. That is your given name?
You know, let me give you the lowdown, okay?
Okay.
I was born Debbie Greenberg. I'm probably one of the only Jewish Derryberries you're ever going to meet because I married a Derryberry in Nashville when I was there for a year. And it didn't last very long, but the name hung on because it's so silly. It sounds like a big cartoon. And I thought, well, Debbie Derryberry, Debbie Greenberg, I like Debbie Derryberry. So I kept that one, and that's the long and short of it right there. And I was on jury duty the other day, and they were getting ready to call up everybody's name who was dismissed. And I knew when they got to my name, they'd say something that would make the waiting room giggle. And sure enough, she said, Debbie Derryberry. And I heard a few snickers. She said, sounds like candy. I said, I thought it sounded like a yogurt flavor or something.
Either works, you know. I think it works on several levels. Now, you've been doing voice acting for quite a while. When you do something like jury duty, does anyone ever recognize you, especially with the very distinctive name?
No, I try to lay really low. I just I make a conscious effort to not talk, to just sit and be quiet and obey and listen. I haven't actually got called in to work on a case, and if I did and I had to actually speak in front of people, their ears always perk up and they go, hey, don't I know you? And I guess I kind of evoke that response in people because I'm short and I'm blonde and I don't look like anybody else and I don't sound like anybody else and I'm not as tall as anybody else, but it's all good.
Now, you got your start, actually. You were performing from a very young age. You actually started out more of a musician than an actor.
It was kind of a combination. My passion lied in music and playing my guitar and writing songs. And my family was always in community theater. So I didn't connect the two at all. For me, it was all about singing with a little can of deodorant or a water bottle on the bed, singing along to songs, pretending I was the lead singer. And then if I was in a theater production with my family at a local theater, that would be a whole other thing. But to me, the applause at the end of my performance, it always provided me with the same rush of I must entertain. But Daddy wanted me to be a doctor, so I said, okay, because I did what Dad said. I'm the kid that was the good girl. So I always did what Daddy said, and I went to UCLA, and I was a pre-med, and I majored in kinesiology, and I applied to medical school. But all I really wanted to do was sing and perform and get people to clap for me.
So you're doing the UCLA, you finished the pre-med? And you did apply, right?
I did, and I applied to med schools, and I didn't get in the first year, and I didn't want to reapply. I wanted to move to Nashville and be a country singer. So I did. I moved to Nashville. I'm like, bye, everybody. I'm going to Nashville. They're like, what? You're Debbie Greenberg. You're a pre-med. I'm like, yep, I'm going to Nashville. So I went there, and, you know, the only jobs I got were jobs talking like a baby or singing like a baby. And I thought, well, okay, if that's what they want to pay me to do. I never really paid attention to the fact that I sounded like a kid. I didn't know I did, but apparently I do.
So you were doing voice acting in Nashville then?
I was doing mostly jingles, actually. I did a few speaking spots, but the Nashville was mostly on camera as an elf for Christmas time, or on camera as a little boy with Jim Varney's Hey Vern, It's Ernest, playing actually a boy on camera, or body doubling little boys in the Ernest movies, the Hey Vern, It's Ernest, Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Saves Christmas, that sort of thing. I'm the same size as like an 11-year-old, 12-year-old boy, so they had me body double, or not body double, stand-in work, they called it. And of course, I didn't know anything about acting or the business or anything. And they'd call me in to do singing sessions as a little kid's voice. You know, again, anything they're going to pay me to perform, I'm going to do it.
I was going to say, we've talked with several voice actors that have live on-camera credits, but I believe you're the first one we've talked to with an actual stunt credit.
Yeah, I have the very strangest stunt credit. I always wanted to work at SeaWorld. So in college, I took a scuba diving course because I always wanted to scuba dive. And I was legally blind since I was about 9. And it wasn't till I was 23 when I had LASIK surgery and I could see underwater. I was always absolutely legally blind in the water. And my brother would pretend he was a shark at the beach and come around and scare me. So I was mortified, petrified, just so scared of the water at the ocean. But of course, I would always swim, but never by myself because I knew there was a shark in the swimming pool. So I got my scuba diving certificate, and years later, they were looking for somebody with the body of a little boy who was certified in scuba diving to body double the boy in Free Willy. And I went in, met with Warner Brothers, and they flew me to Mexico the next day to work for 8 weeks with the whale and body double this little boy. And I'm the one that swam with the whale, and it was sort of like all my dreams come true. I get to be like I'm working at SeaWorld, you know, because it was at an adventure park, and I get to scuba dive, and I get to get clapped for, and I get to be on camera. It was like the best gig ever.
So talk about the leap from doing something like that to getting Jimmy Neutron, which is one of the biggest roles that you're known for.
Well, at the time of Free Willy, I was doing a show with Howie Mandel called Bobby's World, which I played his girlfriend, Jackie, who had really long pigtails, and she was like his conscience and his best friend. And so I'd fly back from Mexico doing Free Willy to record Bobby's World sessions. And at that time, I was playing the body of a boy and the voice of a girl, and I had never done the voice of a boy. Well, I had in the series in Nashville, but I wasn't real comfortable with it. I didn't know I could do the voice of a boy, because there were all these great boy voices. Pammy Adler, or I guess her last name now is different. She does Bobby on King of the Hill, or E.G. Daly, who's Tommy Pickles, or Nancy Cartwright, who's Bart Simpson. And they have that, they call it texture. And it sounds a little bit like this. It has a lot of texture. Well, I can't sustain texture in my voice. My little boy's voice doesn't have that gravel on it. So when I went to my agent sent me on this Johnny Quasar audition, and I looked at who was coming into audition, and I thought, I don't stand a snowball's chance in you know what to book this. So I might as well not do my gravel voice, because I can't do it for a long time. So I just did my little boy's voice with no gravel, and lo and behold, they booked me on a pilot for Johnny Quasar. And then they had to change the name to Johnny Neutron. Then they had to change it to Jimmy Neutron. And the pilot became a movie, and the movie became a series, and the series became video games. And it was a slow step up. You just never know when you audition what's going to happen. That's the story of that one.
Nice. There was a great LA Times article about you about 12 years ago or so. And they talked about how the interviewer had to basically interview you in secret because Nickelodeon did not want it to get out that Jimmy Neutron was a woman.
When I showed up at the premiere at Paramount, I had my mommy and my daddy, God rest their souls, with me in the limousine that Paramount provided. They picked us up. We were dressed to the nines. I was so excited. We drove onto the Paramount lot. Mommy, Daddy, so proud of their little girl. And Paramount Publicity called me on the phone in the limousine and said, "Yeah, Deb, would you mind walking around the red carpet, not down the red carpet? We don't really want anyone to know it's you." Well, it was as if someone pulled the rug out from under me, literally. And I couldn't believe that they pulled this on me at the last minute, that they didn't want anyone to know that Jimmy Neutron was a girl. And I'm not one to argue, and I don't burn bridges, so I said, okay. I walked around the red carpet. I missed out on what could have been the biggest red carpet walk of my life, and Jimmy Neutron was an Oscar-nominated film, but nobody knew it was me.
Since that time, has the opinion of studios and PR companies, has that changed? Have they been more open to saying this is who does the voice and really kind of bringing you guys to the front?
That's a really good question. But what has happened is that studios have realized that animated films can be great moneymakers, and so they have stopped casting A-list voiceover artists in their films. What they have started doing is started casting A-list on-camera actors in their films. And this way, yes, they get to walk the red carpet, they get to promote that voice, they get to promote that particular character. But if you look at the stars of most of the animated films, save for a few like Brave, you know, the real oddball ones or some that are require a children's voice, for the most part you'll see them as on-camera celebrities. So the business has changed quite a bit, where us voice artists who are in the A-list voice artists, I mean, that's, you know, what people consider us after all this time and all the work we've done and our skill in front of the microphone, we don't really get a shot at those roles anymore. So that's just kind of the long and short of it and the reality of it. I could get bitter and awful about it, but, you know, it's money, it's Hollywood, and we do what we have to do. And I think in anybody's job, not just acting, not just Hollywood, I think we're all working a little harder and earning a little less. It's just a different world out there now.
Well, you're clearly extremely busy. You've got Monster High that you're doing right now.
Right. I'm doing, Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
Speedy Alka-Seltzer, yep.
Right, he's on quite a bit. I also, you know, the things that I do, you don't always see credits on. I have a commercial campaign with McDonald's and Nickelodeon where anytime they have a new toy, I'm a little boy named Ferris, and he's on national animated commercials all day, every day. And I'm really busy with audition, and I have a new looping group. I'm in Pro ADR Looping. We just finished looping a film directed by Diego Luna called Chavez, based on Cesar Chavez. And it's a great film. There's just a lot of facets to the voiceover business. I still go out on camera. I have a commercial with Elephant Insurance that's running right now on camera. I was a recurring on a show called iCarly, playing the principal's secretary on camera. So I think as an actor, you kind of do whatever it is that's out there that you can do, that you want to do, that they'll cast you as. It's a hands-on business. The whole business aspect of it has to be actively pursued every day if you want to get somewhere and continue working.
Now, you've done a lot of work with Disney, Nickelodeon.
Well, both, actually. I've worked a lot with Disney. I've worked a lot with Nickelodeon, Warner Brothers, all the companies. It's like whatever gig I get, it's whatever company seems to be running it at the time. So I love Nickelodeon. They're hilarious. I love Disney. They're dear and they're devoted. And I love, you know, Warner Brothers. They're hilarious. And there's a lot of, you know, freelance or new companies out there, too, that are just They're great. Wild Brain is so great, and Mattel is so creative. I really have nothing bad to say about any of them. I love working. I just like working.
Do you ever get the sense that the various studios they like to fight over you or something like that, or there's like a little turf war between all of them just because you've worked with each of them for so long?
I don't know. They don't, we're not really privy to what goes on behind the scenes. Between you and me, I'd love to think that they're watching over me. I don't know. I know I do a lot of conventions, and I'm flattered that convention promoters want to have me present at their events. I'm really excited always to meet my fans. I know this summer I'll be in Melbourne, Australia at the, what do they call it, the Aussie Comic Con in Melbourne. I have a lot of Monster High fans there. I'll be in Orlando, Florida in August, and I know there's a lot of Jimmy Neutron fans there. I'll be in New York teaching a workshop in July, and I believe it's sold out, but you may still be able to get in. It's a intensive, I'm teaching two intensives in one day.
Now, explain what an intensive is for people that don't know.
An intensive is a workshop that lasts about 3 or 4 hours, where you'll get an opportunity to read some copy or a script in front of me. I will assess your read, give you some guidance. I'm not necessarily the kindest coach you'll ever have. I never blow smoke up your, you know what. I'll tell you like it is. I'll tell you what they want. I'll tell you what yours sounds like. I'll tell you if it's awesome, and I'll tell you if it's not. And usually people come out of my booth sweating. I mean, it's not easy work, voiceover in front of the microphone, trying to get so much energy coming out of just your mouth, without your face, without your hands, without your feet. So an intensive is just a very concentrated instruction session. Like, I have students that come and see me every week, and they drive from all over California to come and sit with me and have a session. And I am so flattered that they'll come, and they sit in my studio, and I coach them and guide them. And I gotta say, my students are so great. I love the way they're responding, and I think all these years of being in voiceover, I didn't realize it at first, but I got a lot to say. I got a lot of knowledge, and I don't know. I wouldn't have said that a couple years ago, but having started coaching people, I really realized there's so much detail involved in voiceover, and I love what I do. So an intensive is just a very concentrated coaching session.
All right. So I got to talk about some specific roles. I mean, obviously we talked a little bit about Jimmy Neutron, and you did that. How long did that series run? Or is it still running? I guess I haven't watched Nickelodeon in a while.
Let's see. Well, we're done recording it.
Okay.
We've been done recording for, I want to say, like 7 or 8 years.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But it's running every day. It runs all the time. And at conventions, people want me to do the voice, and they're so excited. And at conventions, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm like one of the last people with the original movie posters. And people go nuts for these movie posters, for the signed pictures with Jimmy Neutron. To me, it's one of those rare gigs you get that just happens to hit. It just hit. It hit people in the right place. It hit parents in the right place. It was a quality cartoon. As a parent myself, I'm happy for my child to watch Jimmy Neutron, where there's humor, but there's also kind of a status and associated with being the smart kid, being the underdog, because so many kids suffer that, the victim of being bullied, or the victim of being smart and a bookie and not just the cool kid on the block. And Jimmy Neutron was that. So I think he identifies with a lot of kids, and parents are happy for their kids to watch it, like comfortable. Like, I would be, as a parent, confident that my kid won't pick up any bad stuff from watching Jimmy Neutron. Unlike, say, Family Guy, which is a great show for grown-ups and so wrong for kids.
Another role that we mentioned a little bit, the Alka-Seltzer. Why can't I think of the name? Speedy Alka-Seltzer. There we go. We don't often talk with people that are essentially a mascot.
Yeah, well, Speedy has been an icon for over 50 years for Alka-Seltzer. And there was a wonderful actor named Dick Beals. And I did a couple years of the Addams Family cartoon series with Dick Beals, with Rob Paulsen and Edie McClurg and Rick Taylor, Jim Cummings, a huge cast, Carol Channing, Jeannie Elias, an amazing cast. And that was the first time I'd worked with Dick Beals, who is just a little smaller than me, and I'm pretty small. I'm about 96 pounds and 4'10". So I'm not very big, and Dick is smaller than me, or was smaller than me, God rest his soul. Passed away. We lost him last year. Mm-hmm. And they had stopped Speedy Alka-Seltzer, but then they decided to reinvent him and make a national casting of him. And so the auditions went out all over the nation, and I was fortunate enough to book it. And, you know, that's about it. It's a great gig.
What is that like as an actor to do something, not only something that has such a history, but just... is it possible to really get much character out of something that is only, you know, you're only seeing 15, 20 seconds a shot?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole beauty of voiceover, and that's where the skill comes in, because you have such a short period of time, you have such a concentrated medium to work with, and so when you have a voiceover artist who is, you know, trained at their skill, it comes out. It's amazing to do it. It's an honor to do it. And I think sometimes people want to do it, and maybe the microphone doesn't love their voice, and it's not their fault. It's like why I might not be an on-camera model, because I'm not 6 feet tall, and I don't weigh 110 6 feet tall, and I'm not that. What I am is someone with a voice that the microphone likes. And I'm fortunate that way. And I'm grateful for it, and I love what it is I do. So I think you just have to really, really do what it is you do. And it for Speedy Alka-Seltzer, it just worked. That's what I do. And it might be hard if you're not in the VO business. For me, it's just what I do. It's focus, and it might be, you know, 10 takes to get what they want, but we go till we get it.
You also do a little bit of anime. The big one of Zatch Bell. You were the title character for that series.
Right. With I had a great director, Jeff Nimoy, who also did Digimon. Mm-hmm. I also did a series called Tenchi Muyo, where I did Ryo Oki. It's odd that I've done so many series where I never even speak. I'm an animal, like in Oswald the Octopus. I'm the dog, Weenie, and I'm the little baby caterpillar. I don't say a word. Or in Ryo Oki, I'm just a cat / rabbit / spaceship. I don't say a word. It's just... it's just this big meow cat. And in A Curious George, I'm his best friend, Nyoki, the little kitty cat. I never said a word in that series. And I love doing that. I worked a lot with Frank Welker, so I gotta say I learned a lot from him. Because he is, as you know, the sound maker, animal, monster voice of the universe.
Yes.
Anime is fun. It's a lot of fun. And you know what's the funnest thing? The most fun about anime is going to conventions and seeing the fans. And I just finished God of War 3. And I guess there's other ones I've done, but you're not really allowed to talk about it. Monster High has some video games. Zatch Bell was anime, and that was super fun.
Do you get a chance to watch any of the shows, like, you know, either the more kiddie shows or things like Zatch Bell, or even do you get a chance to play any of the video games? Like you mentioned, you're in God of War 3. This is actually your second God of War game. You were Calliope in both, I believe.
Yeah. I gotta say, no. I don't watch TV. I don't play video games. My spare time is spent with, as a mom, with my boy, and working and auditioning. I watch very little TV. I play zero video games. And I think that's pretty much the story for all of us in the business. I really appreciate our fans. I love our fans. I know that if it weren't for our fans, there would be nobody to admire us, pay for our games, and come to convention. So God bless our fans, because I love what I do, and they love what they do. But I don't do it. I don't watch. I haven't watched one episode of Breaking Bad, and everybody tells me it's really crazy to watch. I want to watch it one day.
Put that on your list when you're not doing 17 other things.
Yeah.
When you're not doing voice work, you're in a band. You're in a country band, Honey Pig, which is one of the greatest names I've ever heard.
Thank you so much. Actually, we did Honey Pig for 7 years. And then when I had my kid, I moved over to children's music. And for the last 7 years, I've been doing toddler music. I have 3 albums out as Debbie Derryberry. And I actually had a song go to number 1 on the charts for XM Sirius. And I have a lot of toddler fans. I've kind of pulled away in this last year from doing concerts. I was doing concerts all over the nation with my kids' show. I still have a very successful website called mybabybanana.com, which you can reach through my normal website, debbiederryberry.com. Can I just spell that because my name is spelled weird?
Sure.
debbiederryberry.com. And then my kids' site is mybabybanana.com.
And all those will be in the show notes. So if you weren't keeping notes, you'll be able to click there.
So I pulled away from that just really to focus back on what I love the most is voiceover.
Nice. One more role I have to ask you about, and it's mostly because you're the very first person that I've gotten that was a part of this, and this was kind of one of the impetuses behind doing the show in general. What was a movie called Comic Book the Movie?
Oh, wasn't that fun? I was with Mark Hamill at ICM for so many years, and then he did this movie, and he put me in it as the Chamber of Commerce director. And I just got to work with all my buddies, with Roger Rose and Jess Harnell. And, of course, at Comic-Con, Mark has to have a bodyguard because he is like he's like the president, you know, at Comic-Con.
Although in that movie, you couldn't really tell it was him. I think
it was him, and we had a lot of security.
Really? Okay.
Oh, my goodness. There are Mark Hamill fans follow him like flies on poopy. It's crazy at Comic-Con in San Diego. It was a real hoot doing that movie. And I'm always surprised at how many fans there are. It was fun.
Oh, if you're a fan of voice actors, you know, definitely check this out. Like you mentioned, Jess Harnell, Mark Hamill, Roger Rose, just pretty much everybody.
Yeah, Darren Norris, everybody.
Jim Cummings has got a small part in it.
Lori Allen, everybody.
Yes. So
it's just, we're just a small group. We all love each other. We all know each other. We all hang. When we are at sessions, it's like a big party. It's a great business, and I'm fortunate to be in it, and I love it.
Speaking of cons, I mean, you mentioned you're going to be in Australia soon. Do you have any other plans for conventions? Are you going to do Comic-Con this year?
I am going to do Comic-Con this year. Hold on. My husband just walked
sure.
in. Come on in, you guys. I'm just on an interview. Yeah, I'll be at Comic-Con. I'll be at my table signing. And I'll be in Australia at AussieCon, and I'll have it all on Facebook.
All right. Again, you can check out. I'm going to let her go because her family has arrived. So she needs to play the role of mom right now.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. You can check out our website is debbiederryberry.com. And my baby banana, not my big banana, like I almost said. That's probably something very, very different. But yeah, mybabybanana.com. Find her at Comic-Con. She's also on Facebook as well. You've got a fan page on Facebook? And you're...
Yes, I do. Do you want to say hi to my boy? Say hi to River.
Hi.
Hi. That's my boy. All right, we're going to head out. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye, everybody.
This has been The Voice Behind, a production of the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode, and for outtakes from this and other episodes, as well as news and commentary from the voice actor community, follow our Twitter feed at twitter.com/thevoicebehind or on Facebook at facebook.com/thevoicebehind. Comments, questions, and suggestions are more than welcome at voice@fancypantsgangsters.com. Thanks so much for listening.